supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for the survival of Christian civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you of the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Mike Campbell, and we're going to be talking about Amelia Earhart and the book he's written on her, and basically the story that you're not going to hear through regular channels because the media is controlled, and most of what you believe isn't true. Most of what you learned in school, most of what you read in the newspaper just isn't true. They focus your attention on the things that they want you to think about and believe, and they totally ignore so much of what is really true in the history of the past. And one of those stories is the story of Amelia Earhart, and with that as the background, Mike Campbell, you pick up the story.
Hey, how are you doing tonight, Dr. Stan? Good to be with you.
I'm doing just fine, and so we want you to tell our listeners about Amelia Earhart. Why? I mean, whole episode goes back to 1937. You would think that the story would have come out a long time ago, but it is still being actually suppressed, certainly by the majority of the media, even today. And as Mike has tried to get this story out, it's been very difficult, and he's got written a wonderful book. We'll tell you how to get it. But you pick up the story.
Okay, Dr. Stan. Well, the name of the book, for starters, is Amelia Earhart, The Truth at Last. And I think it's very aptly named. It came not easily, the title of this book. It took me a year to come up with the title of this book after spending 25 years, going on 26 now, on this story since 1988. So the book is Amelia Earhart, The Truth at Last, and I am not the first one to present this truth. The story of the truth actually began in 1960, Dr. Stan, with the book Daughter of the Sky by Paul Briand, who was a English teacher at the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs. He is the one that began to get people interested in what actually happened to her. Now, let's go back to 1937. Now, she was attempting her around-the-world flight and to become the first woman to do that and to also set a new distance record at the equator. She was trying to circumnavigate the globe at about 27,000 miles or something like this, as close to the equator as she could. It was a long flight. Now, the third last leg of the flight was from Ley, New Guinea, to Howland Island in the middle of the Pacific, which was to 2,556 miles of open ocean. This was the most difficult part of the flight for her. Her navigator, Fred Noonan, was probably one of the main reasons why he was hired by her. He was one of the best navigators in the world, and to find that island in those days in 1937 with the very primitive radio equipment that they had was a very tough thing to do. Now, this is what happened. This is where she was lost when she didn't show up on July 2nd at Howland Island. Her radio transmissions to the Itasca, the Air Force or the Coast Guard cutter that was anchored off of Howland Island, were very irregular. She was only on for a few seconds at a time, 7 or 8 seconds at a time. She acted as if she did not want to be heard.
And I think that's what's so important. She acted as if she didn't want to be heard. Sort of an air of mystery about the story, but go ahead.
Okay. Yes. I mean, this is one of the strange things about the flight. I mean, this is one of the things that has been analyzed over and over again. This is one of the things that even the establishment cannot argue with, because it's on the flight law of the law.
Hold that thought. Hold the thought. We'll be back in a moment.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly
exceeds supply by more than 10%. You were just saying it was on the flight records, but there is something very strange about the Sunday radio communications.
The U.S. dollar continues to lose value in respect to the world reserve currency. Challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at a reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden, all heirloom and all ready for you to create that special necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 808-982-7782 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 808-982-7782 right now and order seed for this year's garden. It's fast and easy. There's quick shipping, too. That's 808-982-7782.
And the winner of fallback pricing is... you. The results are in from Freeze Dry Guy's You Be the Boss, Tell Us What You Want Us to Put on Sale campaign. After getting phone calls, emails, blog, and Facebook comments, nominating your favorite freeze-dried foods and dehydrated foods, you the people, you the bosses have spoken. We, the staff at Freeze Dry Guy, have listened, as we've done since 1970. So now, one item and one entire line of food are on special sale until the end of October. The entire line of popular non-GMO and gluten-free foods are 20% off. The Family First Responders Kit, loaded with delicious freeze-dried foods like hearty beef stew, lasagna, and mouth-watering strawberries, is roughly 30% off. Go to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com to order or call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD, and make your own deal. Thank you, boss.
Thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and suddenly there is something very strange about Amelia Earhart. Her radio transmission suggests that she didn't really intend to land wherever she was supposed to. In fact, of course, the evidence is that she landed at a place called Melle Atoll in the Marshall Islands. And remember, 1937, the Japanese were beginning to prepare for war. Westerners were not allowed in that area, suddenly without special permission. And she lands suddenly in Japanese area. She's picked up by the Japanese. And of course, the thing is that she was considered to be a spy. Now, of course, the American military then used the loss of Amelia Earhart or a disappearance for a massive search of the sea. Did suddenly the American forces get into the restricted Japanese areas at that time? Do you know?
No, Dr. Stan, absolutely not. They searched 262,000 square miles of ocean around Howland Island, and we asked to come into the Marshall Islands. We asked Japan if they would allow us to do that, and they said no, emphatically no. You are not allowed to do that. We won't let you in here. We will do that ourselves, okay? So this is one of the factors that mitigates against the theory that she landed at Melle Atoll in order to have the United States Navy come in and look for her. If that was a plan, it was not a very well-conceived plan. It was very, very badly conceived, and the Japanese said was no, and that was the end of it. We didn't challenge that, and we didn't go search for her. So they had her at Mille, and as I said, they took her to Jalowit. We have witnesses at Jalowit. The 16-year-old Bilemon Amaron, who's been interviewed by many Earhart researchers, was called aboard the Kofu. He was a Japanese hospital corpsman in 1937 on Jalowit. He was called aboard the Kofu to tend the wounds of Noonan, and he saw Amelia Earhart there on the deck. He even told one researcher, Bill Primack, that they called her, the crew called the woman, the American lady pilot, Melia. That's what they called her, according to Bilemon Amaron, one of the better known of the witnesses in the Marshall Islands. You can everything that we discussed tonight about the Earhart matter, Dr. Stan, is it's just a broad brush. Everything here is a broad brush, and it's all been suppressed ever since Gerner's book, Fred Gerner, in 1960. Let me finish with what they did with her at Jalowit. From Jalowit, they took her to Kwajalein, which had an airstrip, and from which is also in the Marshalls, closer to Saipan, and then from Kwajalein, she was flown to Saipan. We believe in a Japanese seaplane, okay? Because in 1937. 11-year-old Josephine Blanco Akiyama saw her emerge from the plane that had belly landed at Tenapag Harbor, as described by Josephine, and saw the American lady pilot there with the man, the skinny white man with the blue eyes, the tall white man, and she was told that they were taken away, and she was told that they were shot. As spies. We're not sure. We don't think that happened right away, because we may have many other witnesses from Saipan, native witnesses that said that, have given accounts. The first bunch of accounts was to Fred Gerner in 1960. Gerner was a CBS radio newsman in San Francisco who went to Saipan to investigate the claims of Josephine Blanco Akiyama, which was presented in Paul Briant's book, Daughter of the Sky, which we started out mentioning.
One of the things that I have gotten from your previous conversations was that the Americans had actually broken the Japanese code. And basically, they knew that actually Amelia Earhart had been captured. My understanding is that they knew that, but they could never reveal this because they didn't want the Japanese to know that prior to the war that we had their code broken. Is that a fair estimate?
Absolutely. We've learned since then, so much research has been done since Gerner's bestseller in 1966. Gerner never stopped researching the Earhart case, and we have much other information. 99% of the information that we know about Amelia Earhart now was not known in 1966 when Gerner's book was published. But still, Gerner's book firmly established that she was on Saipan and she had been seen on Saipan by many of the native witnesses. And we did, the fact that we had broken the Japanese codes is now well known. And so we knew that they had her in 1937, shortly after that. And this is one of the huge factors, played into the decision by FDR, Franklin D. Roosevelt, not to lift a finger to do a thing about her on Saipan and not to announce the fact that they had her to the world. Instead, the United States went out and did their naval search with the USS Lexington, with the carrier with 63 airplanes on board, and the battleship Colorado was also in that search, plus the Itasca and some other smaller ships in the Lexington battle group. And they all went through this charade of searching for her when it was almost certain that we had already known that they had her, and they had her probably by then on Jalowit. You know, they had probably taken her. She was probably a Jesuit at the time of the American search.
And I think that's really so significant, because so much of what is done today militarily and politically is all simply make-believe. It's to convince the American people we're really trying, whereas, of course, the real goal is being suppressed from the American people. They were not to know back in 1937 that the Japanese were holding Amelia Earhart, and to this day they're still concealing the background and the treachery and the deviousness as they left this woman to be killed. Go right ahead.
Absolutely, Dr. Stan. The website where you can see more about this after we're finished, as I said, this is all just broad brush stuff. The website is Earhart Truth, EarhartTruth.com. The name of the book is Amelia Earhart, The Truth at Last. You can get it on Amazon.com. It's more than a book, Dr. Stan. This is a cause. You know, sometimes I feel like just a lone voice out here. There's just almost no one that really cares anymore about this subject. There's just a few people out there that, you know, they get in touch with me and tell me that they care about this. But, I mean, it's not an easy thing. I mean, I didn't plan to become devoted to the truth in the Earhart matter in 1988 when I started out on this story. I had no idea this was going to become the all-consuming thing in my life when the Navy, you know, the ironic thing, Dr. Stan, is that I was working for the Navy, the U.S. Navy, as a reporter, as a civilian writer at the time that I got into this story and I read the books. One of the first books I read was Thomas E. Devine's book. I witnessed the Amelia Earhart incident. The book was published in 1987 by Devine, 1987 being the 50th anniversary of Amelia Earhart's loss. Another factor about coincidence about 1987, actually, it's not a coincidence at all because there are no coincidences, but in the Marshall Islands, we didn't mention this before, the Marshall Islands, the Republic of the Marshall Islands, produced four postage stamps in 1987 commemorating the 50th anniversary of Amelia Earhart's loss. The postage stamps depict her airplane at Milly Atoll, her airplane being put aboard the Koshu, her and Noonan standing there watching. These four postage stamps are, part and parcel of the Republic of the Marshall Islands history, not folklore. It's not, and the people of the Marshall Islands don't consider the Amelia Earhart matter a mystery whatsoever. It's part of their history, and they are commemorated in those four postage stamps. The United States does not own the Marshall Islands. They are an independent people, and they put these stamps out. It's no mystery over there to them at all.
And of course, they know what it is, but the American people were never to know. In fact, the difficulty is that so much of the history of the world and of other of events, and certainly both dealing with America and elsewhere, are kept strictly suppressed in America today. And that's why, of course, the book, Amelia Earhart, The Truth at Last, is so important. Mike Campbell has written it. It's what about? It's almost 600 pages, isn't it?
Oh, it's. No, it's more than.
Well, it's 680, something like that. Anyway, it's a big book.
I'm sorry. It's 480 pages.
480, okay. But yeah. It's a magnificent book. He's done a tremendous amount of work accumulating information on the fate of Amelia Earhart. And what's so really discouraging is that the average American certainly has never been allowed to know that we knew that the Japanese were holding Amelia Earhart, and they suppressed that information from the American public to protect our president, who refused to do anything to try to save this woman, who is probably actually operating at the behest of our own government. We go right ahead.
Okay, well, getting back to, I think, you know, we could, Fred Gerner would probably be a good place to go back to right now and talk about his work on Saipan, because as a result of Fred Gerner's first trip to Saipan in 1960, the United States government was still, they knew about it, I suppose, but they weren't really prepared for Gerner and his findings, on Saipan. And these findings were published in his 1966 book, The Search for Amelia Earhart. This book, in 1966, is the only book ever written about the disappearance of Amelia Earhart that was a bestseller. Ever since Gerner's book, getting back to the United States government and the media establishment, what they did was to trash this book. Time magazine came out in a few months after his book was published in 1966, sold 400,000 copies. Time magazine trashed Gerner's book. They said it was worthless. They said it didn't stand up. They said that the Japanese or the American governments would have come clean about
the Earhart. Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, when books tell the truth, they get trashed.
Cancer was a rare disease 100 years ago, but that isn't true today. A recent study reveals 38% of American women and over 42% of American men either have or will develop cancer during their lifetime, and many will die from that disease. Why has the incidence of cancer increased? Well, most people eat processed food, and processed food contains toxic substances, and the vitamin, mineral, and antioxidant content of processed foods is altered during preparation. What can you do? Most diets are deficient in magnesium, iodine, vitamin C, vitamin D3, antioxidants, and other essential nutrients. So Radio Liberty offers the supplements you need to maintain your health. If you'd like a list of our products or a catalog, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. And our website is radioliberty.com.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it, taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited-calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy aging. Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now. 1-866-405-4000. 405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you enjoy cooking? Would you like to learn the culinary secret that Barbara uses to enhance the flavor of Dr. Stan's food? Who's Barbara? She's Dr. Stan's wife. And what's her secret? She uses the delicious spices produced by Old Westport Spice and Trading Company. After using and enjoying their products for almost 20 years, Dr. Stan and Barbara decided they should offer their favorites to you. If you would like to please your family and enhance the flavor of your food, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. I suggest you call today. Once again, the telephone number is 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927.
Well, this This is Dr. Stan, I guess Mike Campbell, the book, Amelia Earhart, Earhart, The Truth at Last. And he's simply going into the background of certainly of the people who've written about this. And certainly there have been a number of books written about it, but they've been anything that dealt with certainly the fact that Amelia Earhart was captured by the Japanese. We knew it had broken the code. We knew they had her and they suppressed this information. All of those books were carefully suppressed. And there were people actually who went to certainly Saipan following the Second World War, actually saw Amelia Earhart's plane there. And eventually the plane was destroyed. Apparently it was burned on orders of the president, because the last thing he wanted for the American people to know was he betrayed Amelia Earhart, who was probably working as a spy for our government, but to give an excuse for so we could bring our military, our navy, into the Marshall Islands, begin to see what the Japanese were doing. Because it was very obvious to our leaders that we were going to have a war at that time. In fact, we put an embargo on Japan because they couldn't buy oil anywhere in the world, because we wanted a war, and we had to force Japan into a position where, as President Roosevelt said, the only question is how we get into the war and get the Japanese to fire the first shot. And if you want to see the source of that, I have the pages from Ambassador William Dodds, from the diary of Henry Stimson. We found that at Yale University at Sterling Library. And there, of course, we have this diary of Henry Stimson, who talks about going to the White House on the 25th of November at 1941, having a meeting with the president and General Marshall and certainly Forrestal, and I think one other person was there. And basically the president said, we're going to go to war with Japan. The only question is, how are we going to get them to fire the first shot? They'll probably attack secretly next Monday, but we're planning they're going to attack next Monday. They knew that. They wanted a war, but they couldn't let the American people know that. It's just all planned ahead of time, as all of the wars are, having nothing to do with what the American people are told. We're constantly manipulated, and the truth is suppressed, as was the story of Amelia Earhart. Go right ahead, Mike.
Thanks, Dr. Stan. That's a pretty good wrap up right there. I mean, I really do appreciate you reading the book. I've been on with so many different, so few actually, but the ones that I've been with, the radio hosts, many of them radio hosts that I've been on with, well, they don't read the book. They just kind of fill time with me. You know, they give me 15 or 20 minutes and that's it. You know, so I really do appreciate you reading the book, taking time to digest it and understand what's presented here. Because this is not a simple story to talk about, you know, in an hour. But on the other hand, it's not terribly complex either. But the thing is that there's so much involved with the witnesses. There's just so many different witnesses, so many different threads to the story, because she was on Saipan, and there's no question about it. There's no competing evidence in this case, as the establishment really wants the public, Joe Sixpack, to believe that there's all these different ideas, all these different competing theories about what happened to her. You know, this is all mythology. You know, the fact that she might have the Coast Guard and the Navy, you know, that story played for many years, many decades, that she went in the water off of Howland Island and was lost, that she crashed and sank and was lost. That was the narrative. That was the false narrative for about five decades following her loss. Beginning in the late 80s, they had to come up with a new narrative, because it was just wearing too thin, and it was just completely unbelievable. And people were starting to get wind of Saipan. Of course, during the mid-60s, you know, there should be listeners tonight that remember Gerner's work, because he did rattle some cages, and a lot of people were upset about what his book said. And there was a lot of pressure put on congressmen and senators to get to the answer of the Earhart thing that Gerner had raised, get to the answer of all the answer to these questions. But it's just all that was stonewalled. All that was stonewalled by Congress and by the Senate. And was the fact that it was a sacred cow, and they would never get off of the truth, became quite evident. It just became quite evident. Now, when Fred Gerner, because he was so well known, and because his book was so well known, his book wasn't published till 66. In the early 60s, though, he got access to some of the files, according to Ross Game, a close friend of Fred Gerner's. They went to Washington. Gerner was given access to some of the Navy files, and these were classified at the time. The ones that told the real story about her being on Saipan, about her plane being found, about the destruction of the plane. He was able to see some of these things, according to Ross Game, who was with him.
Hold that thought, and we'll be back in just a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, so much of what's going on today is suppressed. You are never to know the truth.
Hi, this is Joyce Wiley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at a reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden, all heirloom and all ready for you to create that special necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 808-982-7782 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 808-982-7782 right now and order seed for this year's garden. It's fast and easy. There's quick shipping, too. That's 808-982-7782. Cancer was a rare disease 100 years ago, but that isn't true today. A recent study reveals 38% of American women and over 42% of American men either have or will develop cancer during their lifetime, and many will die from that disease. Why has the incidence of cancer increased? Well, most people eat processed food. And processed food contains toxic substances, and the vitamin, mineral, and antioxidant content of processed foods is altered during preparation. What can you do? Most diets are deficient in magnesium, iodine, vitamin C, vitamin D3, antioxidants, and other essential nutrients. So Radio Liberty offers the supplements you need to maintain your health. If you'd like a list of our products or a catalog, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. And our website is radioliberty.com.
Hold the thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly our guest is certainly Mike Campbell. And Mike, before we go on, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get to your website, how they can get your book.
Okay, Dr. Stan, the website again is Earhart Truth, the three W's, Earhart Truth, E-A-R-H-A-R-T, Truth. Let's do that again. Earhartruth.com, Earhartruth.com. The book is available on Amazon. Just go to Amazon and search Amelia Earhart, The Truth at Last, or search Amelia Earhart. You'll find it easily. This is not just a book, it's a cause. And I was just talking about, I was just quoting from the end of Fred Gerner's book, because Fred Gerner was so eloquent, and Gerner spent so much of his life on this story. He died in 1994 at the age of 69. a bit young. Thomas E. Devine died in 2003 at the age of 88. Those two worked together at one point in 1963 on Saipan, trying to find the gravesite that was shown to Devine. But getting back to Gerner and what he closed out his book was he was talking about that he was going to ask Senator Thomas Cutchell of California to look into this matter by congressional investigation. And then picking up his last paragraph, Gerner closed his book. He said, because of people who dare to reach out like Earhart Noonan, we now orbit men around our Earth and turn our eyes to the stars and what lies beyond. Amelia Earhart and Fred Noonan chose their destinies, not wanting it, as most of us do, for our decisions to be made for us. Amelia and Fred may have listened too closely to the commands of their own egos, sought too desperately the immortality of the hero image. But was that not better than to have been born deaf?
Well, hold that for just a minute. We do have a caller calling us from Moses Lake in Washington. Ted, are you a regular listener to our program?
Oh, I love your program, Dr. Stan. It's always it's always very interesting. You always have some great guests on.
Well, now, what input did you have as far as Amelia Earhart was concerned?
Well, I worked as an attorney for the government out in the Saipan from 1991 to 1993. And it was common knowledge back then, and I'm sure it's still now, that both Amelia Earhart and Fred Noonan, her co-pilot, were both on the island of Saipan from approximately 1937 to May of 1944 when they were taken off, shot, cremated, a month before the Americans came and captured the island.
And that was what people working on Saipan believed at the time?
No, yes, and I met plenty of elderly eyewitnesses who saw them in the jail there in a place called Garapan in Saipan. It's common knowledge in Saipan even today.
Okay. I appreciate so much your calling and confirming that. Certainly this was, you were there in what, about 1980?
91 to 93, and you'll be on my program next month, Dr. Stan. I'm looking forward to having you. And this is Ted Marr from the Out of This World program.
Okay.
On February 21st.
So. All right. God bless, and thanks very much. I really appreciate your calling in and confirming that. Bye-bye.
Oh, my pleasure. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, fine. Well, Mike, here's somebody who was actually on Saipan who has firsthand knowledge of what people there believe. But, of course, you're never going to hear this in the United States because they can largely control what the American people read, hear, see, and ultimately what the American people believe. And until people can understand that our educational system is controlled, our media, most of it's controlled. This is why I do what I do 5 hours a day. That's certainly one of those lonely voices and alternative media, but how fortunately more and more people through the miracle of the internet are listening and learning, and thank goodness we do have the outlets on major radio stations, certainly in Washington and across the eastern part of the United States. And even in fact, the other day I just got an email from a fellow named Koji who listens regularly in Japan. We know people listen all over the world, so your message is getting out, Mike, and I think it's so important. Please pick up the story.
Well, that's great. You know, it's really it's good that the caller just said that he was on Saipan in those years. Lately, I know a few people that have been over to Saipan, and these people and the fact that of Amelia Earhart's presence and death on Saipan is becoming, even though it's still there, and the people, the older people, still know this, and they pass this along. There is another faction. There is another faction on Saipan that is very much against this information getting out. And I've dealt with these people on several occasions, and especially the media people over there, who are completely enthralled to the American establishment media and in our establishment media culture, and they don't like the idea of the truth getting out, even on Saipan nowadays, because, you know, don't forget, they are a territory of the United States. We own Saipan, you know, our Interior Department or whatever. We have dominance over Saipan, and I've heard so many, and I've had personal dealings with some of these journalists over there, and they are in the bag for the lies that are put out by the American establishment, that she went to Nicomororo, which is everything that the average man in the street nowadays hears. That's all they hear. Every other year we hear about the Tigar group going back to Nicomororo. Next time will be the 11th trip to this tramped down, picked over island that used to be home to a Coast Guard Loran station and hundreds of, and during the war, and hundreds of Gilbertese over the years until the mid-60s. And nobody ever saw a trace of Amelia Earhart on that island. And this idea that she was there is just complete disinformation. It's complete rubbish. And but this is all that the American people hear. I expect any day now, because the time is about due. Just about any day now, we'll be seeing new headlines about this group and about their attempt to solve the Amelia Earhart mystery by going over there this coming summer. They need $3 million now, that's what they say, to do their sonar and do their explorations off the island in submersibles now. This is the latest. This is just an ongoing charade, you know, and it's just incredible. It's not just that they let this myth that Amelia Earhart, that her disappearance is a mystery. This is such a part of the culture now. It's such a, you know, everybody, 99.99% of the public believes that it's an unsolvable mystery. But it's not just that. They've already done their job with that. They are continuing with these active measures to disinform and mislead the American people with this group going over to Nicomararo. It's just amazing.
Well, it's unfortunate, but this is the way the world is run today. And they will come up with these alternative explanations, or so many conflicting explanations, that they do nothing but confuse people. And basically, of course, this is how they manage to control our reality and get us so confused that when we face an issue or when we wonder about something, it's a lot easier just to go down and turn on television and watch a football game or a movie than to stop and think about what's going on. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, the very survival of Western civilization is dependent upon people learning the truth. And this is an important part, one of the puzzles, certainly one of those dots that need to be connected, because it represents the fact that there is an organized control over the media that largely determines what the American people think and believe. Go right ahead, Mike.
Okay, Dr. Stan. Well, how long do we have tonight? What time are we?
We've got about 20 minutes before. No, I'm sorry. We've got about 10 minutes before we get to the break.
And how long? Okay, to the break, and then.
And then we've got 3 minutes after the break.
Okay. Okay. Well, I think it's important then that some of your listeners that are really interested in this. We talk about a few of the maybe some of the skeptics out there. We have the testimony or the accounts of 3 U.S. military flag officers to Fred Gerner that are part of the archives, as if you will, of witness accounts that establish the fact of Amelia Earhart's presence and death on Saipan.
And basically, a flag officer is either a 4-star general or 4-star admiral. Is that right?
It's generals and admirals. I'm not sure.
Okay, fine. Go ahead.
So, well, the first flag officer we have is the iconic Navy warrior Chester Nimitz, who was Commander-in-Chief Pacific Fleet during World War II. In March of 1965, Admiral Nimitz, who had known Gerner for a few years at that time, he told Gerner, he says, "Now that you're going to Washington, Fred, I want to tell you Earhart and her navigator did go down in the Marshalls and were picked up by the Japanese." This revelation from Nimitz to Gerner is included in Gerner's book, and it's known to many casual observers, even of the Earhart, or casual observers of this matter. How could anybody question the word of someone like Chester Nimitz? Gerner wrote, "After 5 years of effort, the former commander of U.S. Naval Forces in the Pacific was telling me it had not been wasted." This is what Gerner wrote. Now, besides Nimitz and his words to Gerner and his words of encouragement, because even in those days, Nimitz was considered to be on active duty because he was the last of the 5-star admirals, and he was in those days considered to be on active duty, and he was certainly considered to be under security restrictions about that information. He gave Gruner that information to encourage him, and because he did not agree with our establishment and our government policy of covering this up, obviously. On the other hand, Nimitz did not write a treatise for Gruner or go into any great details on this. This is what he told him simply in a telephone conversation, according to Gruner. And that was it. That's what he told him. In November of 66, several months after Gruner's book was published, retired General Graves B. Erskine, who was a Marine Brigadier General, he was deputy commander of the V Amphibious Corps on Saipan in 1944. In other words, he was second in command of all the operations on Saipan, was Graves Erskine. He retired as a four-star general. He went to the KCBS studios in San Francisco. Gruner invited him to come there to talk. While waiting to go on the air with Gruner, Erskine told Jules Dundies, who was CBS West Coast vice president, and Dave McElhenney, who was a KCBS newsman, quote, "It was established that Earhart was on Saipan. You'll have to dig out the rest for yourselves." This was also something that Graves B. Erskine was not supposed to be talking about. He was still on active duty. He was under the security restrictions. Now, the third general that we have, a flag officer, we have General Alexander A. Vandegrift, who was the 18th Commandant of the Marine Corps. He won the Medal of Honor during World War II. Okay? He told Gruner in a handwritten 1971 August letter, quote, "General Tommy Watson, who commanded the 2nd Marine Division during the assault on Saipan and stayed on that island after the fall of Okinawa, on one of my 7 visits of inspection of his division, told me that it had been substantiated that Miss Earhart met her death on Saipan. That is the total knowledge I have of this incident. And writing to you, I did not realize that you wanted to quote my remarks about Miss Earhart, and I would rather that you would not." So here we have the 18th Commandant of the Marine Corps, Alexander Vandegrift, in a 1971 letter, I think 2 years before he died, telling Gruner this in a letter that that he had learned that she had died on Saipan. We know common sense tells us that Vandegrift knew much, much more than that, than what he wrote to Gruner. He wrote that to Gruner in a very guarded way, but in a way that, encouraged Gruner to continue with his work without really stepping in it himself. So we have Nimitz, General Erskine, and General Vandegrift, 3 U.S. flag officers, telling Fred Gruner that Amelia Earhart died on Saipan. Now, who out there is going to tell us that that was their theory, or that was some sort of a lie that these three got together and told Fred Gruner? Yet we never hear this discussed, never hear it in any of the mainstream media accounts of the Earhart case.
And I think it's so important for you to go into the background of why. The question is, why would they keep this suppressed all of these years? Why do everything they possibly can to prevent the American people from knowing that the Japanese suddenly held Amelia Earhart for some time, and then because she was executed at the end of the war? And because I think it's because they certainly did not want the American people to realize what a villain and what an evil person the President of the United States, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, was. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely, I would, Dr. Stan. This was all about politics from the start. Absolutely, it was. And this is still the reason, to protect the legacy of Franklin D. Roosevelt, basically the father of the modern Democrat Party, is what he was. And this is huge. And still, they would have to, the historians would have to go back, the establishment historians would all have to eat their words, that all have to apologize profusely for the way that they have failed to portray FDR in all the many evil things that he did. I mean, I have a document here that's 24 pages long called FDR Scandal Page, and it's available on the internet, and it's full of all of FDR's, or much of FDR's, crimes against humanity and crimes against this country. He was not a good guy whatsoever. But we never hear about FDR. You know, he's just the father of the Democrat Party. That's all. And he gave us Social Security, and he was a great guy. This is all we ever hear.
And I think basically history has been rewritten, and it is constantly being written and is being rewritten today. And it's about time the American people understood what an evil and wicked person FDR was. But then so many of our presidents, even though some of those we look at the most lovingly and most admiringly, many of these people have been evil as well. Suddenly judge a person not by what they look like or what they said. Judge them by what they did, and what FDR did was to involve us in an unnecessary war with both Japan and with Germany, and he knew exactly what he was doing, and millions of people died unnecessarily because of this evil and wicked person. And one of them was, of course, Amelia Earhart, who I personally believe was in all probability working for our government as an intelligence gathering agent. She flew into the Marshall Islands specifically so that they could justify searching the area, but they could never let the American people know that they betrayed her. Go right ahead.
Well, that's pretty good, Dr. Stan. you know, we don't really know for sure. You know, it's probable that what you just said is absolutely right, but we don't know for sure why she went to Millie Atoll. We don't have a smoking gun on that. The preponderance of the evidence does suggest that she was asked to go there, you know, but we don't know it for absolute certain, just for the record. What we do know, though, is quite enough. And what is presented in this book that we're talking about, Amelia Earhart, The Truth at Last, you can find out about the book at earharttruth.com, E-A-R-H-A-R-T, truth.com.
Or go to Amazon and get it from Mike if you can, but you can always get it from Amazon as well.
Yes, well, my Amazon.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Have you noticed that America is changing? Our nation is changing because public education is systematically destroying our faith in God and country. They have succeeded. What can you do? If you love your children, take them out of public school and consider homeschooling. The Robinson Homeschool Program is a 12-year curriculum devised by a Christian educator. The classes are presented on CDs and dozens of books are included. Thousands of youngsters have taken the course and successfully gone on to college. The modest price is only $195. If you'd like to obtain some additional information, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. So if you love your children and want them to succeed, call 800-544-8927 and ask about the Robinson Homeschool Program.
Most men, when they reach 60 years of age, have urinary tract problems. They have to urinate frequently during the day, and they have to get up several times every night. What's the solution? Many men use a herbal product called Prostate Support. It contains saw palmetto and stinging thistle. It's available from Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan takes Prostate Support and recommends it. And thousands of men take Prostate Support every day because it relieves their urinary tract symptoms. If you would like to try Prostate Support, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Once again, the telephone number for Prostate Support is 800-544-8927. And I suggest you call today.
Give me a call.
Thanks, Dr. Stan. God bless.
Bye. Okay, fine. Well, of course, our guest was Mike Campbell. His book, Amelia Earhart, The Truth at Last, is an interesting read. And it's just another one of the dots, certainly an important part of our history. Most important because it has been effectively suppressed. What you must understand is that when there is a good book that's going to give you important information, ordinarily these books are suppressed, and you will seldom, if ever, hear about them. They'll certainly never be covered by the major media, or if they are, they will be attacked and vilified, and basically this is how the game is played. Why is it played like that? Because the reality of the average American is controlled and manipulated, and until we can begin to get the truth and understand that the wickedness of the people who've gained control of our country, we have a wonderful country. But unfortunately, we have two countries. We have the visible country, the one that you and I love, and we have an invisible government that has a different agenda. They're using the financial and military power of the United States to fulfill an ancient dream. And that dream is a one-world government, a one-world financial system, and, of course, a one-world religion. That they want to destroy Christianity, because behind everything going on today are powerful and sinister spiritual forces. And that's why they took God and prayer and the Ten Commandments out of our schools. That's why we're setting up governments under Sharia law over the Muslim world. Why don't we at least establish secular governments over there? That's what the people want. They don't want governments under Sharia law any more than we would want to have governments either under Calvinist law here in America or under Catholic law. We want to be free and to choose our religion as we wish. That's what the Muslim people want, but we're not going to give them that chance, because the demonic people who are directing, or the Brotherhood of Darkness that controls our government, have a different agenda. Now, if you really want to understand what it's about, you need to get my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, or you can get the talk on by the same name, or the DVD, pardon me, the CD by the same name, or you can get them all together in the Brotherhood of Darkness special. And we want you to copy it. We want you to get it out. Or you need to get my talk on Agenda 21, The Covert Plan, on Population Control, The Secret Agenda. They're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Certainly, you can go up on the internet. You can see many of our DVDs on the internet. You can go to our website, radioliberty.com. Radioliberty.com, and certainly we have many of our DVDs posted at the website there. And certainly, you can watch the DVDs free of charge. You can listen to our radio programs on the internet, 4 hours live, 5 days a week, and certainly it's archived. Certainly we keep them up there for about 6 weeks, so you can listen to those 24 hours a day. But we hope that if you can't listen when we're doing the programs, you listen to the archive programs, you copy them, you get them to other people. The more people you can reach, why, the better it'll be. And the best thing you could do for anybody today is to bring them into an understanding of what this is all about, because, of course, hopefully it will draw them closer to the Lord, and the only thing that's going to sustain any of us at the times and the tying tribes that are coming is our personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, because this truly is a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. So please remember our website, radioliberty.com, radioliberty.com. We have a site there. It's called News Around the Web, News Around the Web. It's right close to where you can listen to our radio programs. And then, of course, we hope that you'll certainly tell others about our website, radioliberty.com. We hope, of course, that you, if you're in a position to help us financially, we certainly need your help. We're dependent upon people all across America, and some are in a position to give just a few dollars. Some give very generously. But we need to finance, and we do have to finance our radio networks. And as you know, we do all different types of radio, in shortwave and internet and telephone. You can hear us on satellite. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, to get more details. Our webpage, radioliberty.com. And please, please pray for Radio Liberty, our provision and our protection. Far across the sea. This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for the survival of Western and Christian civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you that views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of our good friend, Pastor Doug Woodward. And we're going to be talking about his latest book. I think this is his seventh book. It's entitled Our History with a Red Planet. Our History with a Red Planet? What's he talking about? Well, I think you'll find the story fascinating because, of course, the red planet is Mars. And what does suddenly we have to do with what's going on at a distant planet there in the universe or in the solar system? Hi, Doug. Thanks very much for being with us and for coming on and telling us about. You've just finished the book, haven't you? Pastor Doug Woodward, we seem to have lost. I thought he was on the line. It was all set. I'm going to ask our producer to get him back again. But basically, of course, Doug has written a book. And basically, have you ever wondered why we spend so much time in space? Why we have a satellite up there? Why we have a space station? What in heaven's name are we investing hundreds of billions of dollars in the exploration of space for? What do we hope to find out? And I think that there's a great deal you must understand, because there's a great deal, certainly, of mystical information that you have to understand that you and I live in a material, certainly, dimension, but there are people who are in another dimension who have a different outlook. And right back with us is Doug Woodward. Hi, thanks, Doug. Did you just finish the book?
Hey, I'm with you now. It's great to be with you again, Dr. Stan.
Why don't you tell us about your new book on the Red Planet?
Yeah, it is something I've been working on off and on for over a year, but intensely for the last two or three months. The title of the book is called Lying Wonders of the Red Planet, Mars, Ancient Aliens, and the Coming Great Deception, or the Great Deception of the Last Days. And so it's a book that I've been working on and really enjoyed the research on it, associated with the whole kind of, it's almost a religion, Dr. Stan, that's really developed, certainly in the last few years. But as the book attempts to relate to the reader, it's really been ongoing for almost 150 years. And the planet Mars and all the myths and stories around Mars have been a big part of this whole excitement about the ancient aliens and ancient alien theory. And so, because it's become so topical, become such a big issue, we see so many shows, so many movies, the series Ancient Aliens on the History Channel has become such a popular show. It's in effect created sort of a pseudo-religion that argues that humanity was actually really created initially, of course, by evolution, but was nurtured and affected by ancient alien astronauts.
I think what's important is for people to realize that there's an organized effort there to emphasize the importance of UFOs. And I believe the UFOs are not imaginary. I mean, I think they're real. But of course, certainly the explanation given by the establishment is that they represent the visitors from other universes, other parts of the soul of the universe or other galaxies. And, you know, come hundreds of millions of light years to visit us here on Earth. Earth and do look after us. But of course, is that really true? If UFOs are real, what are they? What does this have to do with Mars? Why are we spending billions of dollars to put a spacecraft on Mars to and have it exploring Mars? What's this really all about? What's the significance of the red planet? Why do we have space stations? We'll be back in a moment with Doug Woodward as we approach the answer to those questions.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at a reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden, all heirloom and all ready for you to create that special necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 808-982-7782 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 808-982-7782 right now and order seed for this year's garden. It's fast and easy. There's quick shipping, too. That's 808-982-7782.
And the winner of fallback pricing is you. The results are in from Freeze Dry Guy's You Be the Boss, Tell Us What You Want Us to Put on Sale campaign. After getting phone calls, emails, blog, and Facebook comments nominating your favorite freeze-dried foods and dehydrated foods, you the people, you the bosses have spoken. We the staff at Freeze Dry Guy have listened, as we've done since 1970. So now, one item and one entire line of food are on special sale until the end of October. The entire line of popular non-GMO and gluten-free foods are 20% off. The Family First Responders Kit, loaded with delicious freeze-dried foods like hearty beef stew, lasagna, and mouth-watering strawberries, is roughly 30% off. Go to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com to order or call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD, and make your own deal. Thank you, boss.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly our guest is Pastor Doug Whitney, and we're talking about certainly the exploration of space, certainly this belief that there really are forces out there in space, that, and basically certainly even the belief of within the Vatican, and the Vatican actually has certainly an observatory with powerful, powerful microscopes, and they really believe that there are these beings from outer space, and they're basically Tom Horn talks a lot about that, and Lynn Marzulli has talked about that in their publications. The Vatican has taken a position. There really are these beings from some other part of the universe. But you can write ahead with the story, Doug, because what does this have to do with Mars?
Right.
Scandals on Mars, and what is Mars really all about?
Well, really, as we were talking about, the Vatican has been involved in this. In this subject matter, really going back 150 years to individuals like Secchi or Schiaparelli, who were using the telescope as it was becoming more and more sophisticated to observe Mars. And it was actually Schiaparelli that first discussed the lines that seemed to be etched on the Martian surface and described them as canali or canals. So there was an idea that Mars, it was beginning to be observed 100, 120 years ago, that Mars had ice cap, polar cap, that had changing colors, seemed to be seasonal, that these lines that they were observing perhaps were some sort of irrigation canals that were structured to move water that must have been a scarce resource on Mars, it was supposed, from the ice caps down to different portions of the planet. So Mars was really the first phenomenon that became a big, big part of pop culture as the 19th century was coming to a close. And it caused basically everyone by the time that we came into the 20th century, 1901 and so forth, you had a vast belief. It was just common in the culture and even the scientific community that Mars must have life. It must have intelligent life. And just because it seemed to be so very similar to the Earth. And so Mars has contributed significantly to the notion of life beyond Earth, intelligent life beyond Earth. And then once that idea sort of catches hold, which it did, then all kinds of other ideas began to come into focus, such as what is the place of, if there are intelligent beings on Mars, what is their place in the grand scheme of things? What is their relationship to us? So forth. And so this has led for the past century into a speculation about the nature of the universe, the nature of our solar system, and the origin of humankind. And so eventually this has led, and of course I go through into many different chapters and talk about different aspects of how this has ultimately come to, in our day, to the popular idea of ancient aliens that once visited the Earth, that influenced our culture, and may have in fact even nurtured or changed the human genome. And so that's kind of why Mars is at the beginning of this whole discussion.
All right, fine. But now that we've, Chris, have advanced and we've actually been able to put a vehicle up on Mars and send pictures back, is there anything to suggest that there really are channels there that are carrying water? Is there water on Mars?
Yeah, of course, the whole discussion about canals has tended to been, you know, shown to not be the case. The spacecraft that we've had that have taken pictures really since the 1960s never did show any indications that there were lines or canals on Mars. There clearly are markings. Probably the most notable is this massive valley known as the Marinus Valley or Marinus Berenaris that is essentially the size, in terms of its length, of the United States. It would be as big or as long as the United States is wide. And instead of being about 1 mile deep, which is what the Grand Canyon is, it's about 4 miles deep. And so there are these kinds of things that have been naturally observed or observed as natural phenomenon. But what became, of course, the most interesting feature was when Viking 1 sent back a photograph in 1976, before it landed on the surface, it sent back this photograph that many looked at and said, gee, doesn't that look like a face? And that really began the whole discussion about whether or not there had been intelligent life on Mars at one time. And so it started with this concept of the face on Mars. And it's been controversial in the subject of space exploration on Mars virtually ever since.
Well, so what is your conclusion after you have evaluated all of this information on Mars? Basically, it's certainly the whole idea is there life? Has there been not life? Could there be life? And certainly, what do you conclude after that? Is certainly this item that looks like a face on Mars simply a coincidence?
Well, originally, the idea was that back not long after the photo was released by NASA, they said, gee, isn't it interesting that this sort of a trick of light and shadow? But the reality is that as Richard C. Hoagland, Mike Barra, and others have discussed, is that this really began kind of a great conspiracy associated with what was NASA really saying. What were they up to? Because there was no other photo that was taken at the time that demonstrated that this was merely a trick of light and shadow, as they originally asserted. And it opened up all kinds of questions. And, of course, what I do in the book is I go through all the various factors that suggested that the face on Mars was perhaps did mean more than just a natural trick of light and shadow, that it might have, in fact, reflected, as the late David Flynn talked about, it might have been some sort of monument. Back in 1988, Richard C. Hoagland, who's really the kind of the primary cheerleader, this whole issue of whether or not there is life on Mars, he wrote a book called The Monuments of Mars, and he talked about the face, he talked about certain pyramids. Even Carl Sagan, before him, in about 1980, talked about the what Sagan called the Elysium Pyramid, which was a four-sided, very symmetrical pyramid, really reminiscent, although much larger, than the pyramids, the Great Pyramid of Giza. That this pyramid existed, and as Sagan said in the book Cosmos back in 1980, it probably bears a look. The famous science fiction author Arthur C. Clarke, and he was, of course, the one who wrote the 2001 A Space Odyssey, he had studied the photographs, and before his death, he suggested that the photographs, from his standpoint, proved that there had been intelligent life on Mars. And so, you know, you asked really, what is my conclusion? My conclusion is that there isn't absolute conclusive evidence one way or the other, but there is significant evidence that suggests that that there could have been life on Mars. But it opens up into all kinds of other questions, and particularly the work that David Flynn did, the work of author Jesse B. Ferrell, scientist Tom Van Flandern, the whole issue of, well, why are these things out there called the asteroids, and why do they exist? And was Mars always a planet, or might it have been, in fact, the moon that once orbited this this other planet? In fact, when one goes back and studies sort of the history of all this, you realize that the very story of Superman, Krypton, that whole sort of mythos of the comic book actually began with this idea that there was a planet that Mars orbited at one time, and that planet exploded. And the word Krypton, which, of course, is the name we associate with that planet, means hidden. And it's Thomas Van Flandern, who was a Yale doctor in astronomy that worked at the Naval Observatory. Van Flandern had proposed that there was an exploding planet. And it's been that idea has been carried forward by a number of authors. Certainly David Flynn talks about that in his book, The Hidden or Secret Chronicles of Cydonia. Cydonia being this sort of area or plane on the Martian surface where this face, certain pyramids and so forth are all located.
But isn't certainly Mars far too arid, far too hot or cold to sustain life as we know it?
Yeah, absolutely. It is much too cold. It has only about 1% the atmosphere of Earth. It has probably 1/4 the gravity of Earth, and it's sort of physically demonstrated that Mars literally can't hold its water. Meaning that if Mars were covered with water or had substantial oceans, those oceans would have evaporated just because of the physics of the size of the planet and so forth.
Isn't Mars much larger than the Earth?
No.
Is Mars actually smaller than the Earth?
Yes, it's about 1/2 the size of the Earth, simply put. And so it is considerably smaller. And it has, of course, as you said, virtually no atmosphere. It has a slight atmosphere such that when we send spacecraft up to Mars and they orbit and then they land, they have to take into account, of course, the friction, the heat, just as the spacecraft coming back into the Earth atmosphere, have to worry about heat shields and being able to get through the friction associated with coming into contact with the atmosphere.
Why are we spending so much money? I mean, fabulous amounts of money exploring the space. Why do we have a space engine, a space station? Why are we simply focusing so much on certainly the universe rather than here on Earth? I'll be back in a moment with our special guest. And what's the spiritual significance of what's going on today?
Cancer was a rare disease 100 years ago, but that isn't true today. A recent study reveals 38% of American women and over 42% of American men either have or will develop cancer during their lifetime, and many will die from that disease. Why has the incidence of cancer increased? Well, most people eat processed food, and processed food contains toxic substances, and the vitamin, mineral, and antioxidant content of processed foods is altered during preparation. What can you do? Most diets are deficient in magnesium, iodine, vitamin C, vitamin D3, antioxidants, and other essential nutrients. So Radio Liberty offers the supplements you need to maintain your health. If you'd like a list of our products or a catalog, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. And our website is radioliberty.com.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it. Taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited-calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy aging, Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now, 1-866-405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you enjoy cooking? Would you like to learn the culinary secret that Barbara uses to enhance the flavor of Dr. Stan's food? Who's Barbara? She's Dr. Stan's wife. And what's her secret? She uses the delicious spices produced by Old Westport Spice and Trading Company. After using and enjoying their products for almost 20 years, Dr. Stan and Barbara decided they should offer their favorites to you. If you would like to please your family and enhance the flavor of your food, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. I suggest you call today. Once again, the telephone number is 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927.
Well, this is Certainly, Doug is simply pointing out the fact that there are many, many people who believe that there have been ancient, very, very highly developed civilizations, that some of the pyramids we see and the Sphinx and other Sydney construction, if you've ever been down the Nile and seen these magnificent, certainly, temples that they have there with these magnificent pillars and hundreds of them, and a city reaching up to the sky and to basically, I mean, how in the world would they ever move those stones, certainly, that there were in the pyramids? It's almost as if this could not have been done, certainly by primitive man, that there had to be superior intelligence or supernatural forces at work, and not simply there. There are actually underground or underwater civilizations, the remnants of certainly lost Atlantis, supposedly has been found off the coast of Cuba, and massive the underground pyramids there. And basically all of these things certainly have intrigued mankind, saying maybe there were certainly extraterrestrials at one time providing information. Now, I'm not suggesting this is true at all, but basically there are people, certainly not coming from a Christian perspective, but coming from a materialistic perspective, who really believe that there are extraterrestrials, that there are UFOs, but those UFOs are coming from certainly other universes hundreds of millions of light years away, and that these people are in contact with us, observing us, have their representatives here, rather than because they're not looking at this certainly from the Christian point of view, which believes that there is another dimension, there is a supernatural element, but it doesn't come from another universe, it comes from another dimension. Would that be an accurate appraisal, Doug?
Yeah, no, I think it is. I think that the context of this whole thing is, in my studies and the books that I've written, I believe that we are in the last days. I believe that there will be, as the Bible teaches, a coming great deception. There will be a one-world religion. And there certainly are many sources of deception in many different religions. And as a Christian, of course, I believe any religion other than Christianity is ultimately not true. But what seems to be occurring, what seems to have been underway for, as I argue in the book, for really about 140, 150 years, is the notion that sort of extends the concept of evolution out into beyond, into outer space, that what happens when a civilization such as ours has denied, generally denied, that that a God exists beyond in another dimension, in eternity, let's say, that he created the creation by fiat out of nothing, that once you throw that idea out, then you begin to look for other possible explanations. How did we get here? Why are we the way that we are? You know, what's our destiny? What's our fate? So forth. And in effect, that's what has happened, is that the interest in ancient alien theory is trying to come up with a alternative cosmology, a different worldview that explains the nature of our origin, and explains our relationship with you know, with what might be out there in outer space.
But of course, it's much easier, really, to believe that there is a God that created the heaven and the earth, rather than suddenly try to come up with the alternative. And of course, basically, it is that eternal battle between those who believe in the God of creation and those certainly who are looking for other sources to explain matter and civilization and human life. Would that be a fair appraisal?
Oh, I think that's correct. I think that, you know, for those of us that have kind of grown up in a sort of a traditional Judeo-Christian worldview, we don't necessarily have a problem believing that it's intellectually, you know, consistent to believe that there could be a creator God that transcends time and space and that he created the universe. But if you look at it from those who do not agree with a biblical worldview, that are naturalists, and they look at it just in terms of, okay, well, we still want to explain, you know, how did we get here? For instance, we could talk about Richard Dawkins, who's a very antagonistic atheist. And he, I remember seeing not too long ago a video where the comic and
Ben Stein, who used Richard Dawkins. And if you haven't seen that, that is one of the most revealing things because
it really is. Yeah, it really is. And of course, Dawkins eventually, when Stein pushes him, he eventually says, well, I suppose that life might have been more or less created by intelligence somewhere else that seeded the universe. And of course, the doctrine is known as panspermia, that sort of a intelligent life created DNA and sort of like pollen, it sort of released this pollen throughout the universe, and it caught hold, happened to on our planet, which was a very hospitable place.
But of course, the explanation is, well, then life, since there is no God, life was created from certainly intelligent design in other planets. And then the question is, but where did that intelligence come from? And he has no answer. No answer at all. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done, get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today, 800-544-8927, 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap, it's a miracle.
For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at a reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden, all heirloom and all ready for you to create that special necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 808-982-7782 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 808-982-7782 right now and order seed for this year's garden. It's fast and easy. There's quick shipping, too. That's 808-982-7782. Cancer was a rare disease 100 years ago, but that isn't true today. A recent study reveals 38% of American women and over 42% of American men either have or will develop cancer during their lifetime, and many will die from that disease. Why has the incidence of cancer increased? Well, most people eat processed food. And processed food contains toxic substances, and the vitamin, mineral, and antioxidant content of processed foods is altered during preparation. What can you do? Most diets are deficient in magnesium, iodine, vitamin C, vitamin D3, antioxidants, and other essential nutrients. So Radio Liberty offers the supplements you need to maintain your health. If you'd like a list of our products or a catalog, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. And our website is radioliberty.com.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Pastor Doug Woodward. He's just finishing up a book on us on the red planet. If you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question or comment, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295, 464-8295. But basically, of course, that's that eternal question, where did we come from? Is there another dimension that we came from? What about UFOs? Certainly, do they represent? And the UFOs, I have no question, ladies and gentlemen, are real. We have, certainly, if you haven't seen Watchers 7, with Lynn Marzulli. We have that. We think it's excellent. And suddenly we will be having some excellent DVDs from Pastor Billy Crone, a four DVD set, certainly on UFOs. There's no question that UFOs are real. The only question is, what do they represent? And suddenly, they're not imaginary. They're real. They're tangible. Some of them, of course, are fraudulent, but some of them are very, very real. And basically, then, is they're either coming from another dimension or from another universe. Our choice as Christians would be from the other dimension. But the media, which is controlled by secularists, will tell you that there really are other universes out there. And they've sent their representatives some 600 or 800 million light years here to look over us. And there was behind everything going on. Well, Doug, before we go on, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with your ministry, get your books, and when will this new book on Mars be available?
Right. Well, I've written now, this will be my seventh book. The last book that I wrote, I co-wrote with my buddies and partners, Douglas Krieger and Dean McGriff, who wrote a book called The Final Babylon that has been doing very, very well. And that's been out since last summer. But you can find my book, S as in Stephen, Douglas Woodward, on Amazon. You can also find them at Prophecy in the News and the Doctor's Band. Your ministry also handles a number of
Yes, we do carry several of Doug's books, and certainly you can call us at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. We've read them. They're excellent books, certainly dealing with these eternal issues that we face, and that is, of course, our personal relationship with the living God. But go right ahead, just any information you'd like to get out as far as your website. And
sure.
You're out there in the listening audience, remember, our number is 1-800-544-8927. If you have a question or comment for our guest, go right ahead. What is your website? How can people get there?
Yeah, you can certainly just do a search on any of the search engines. Just do a search on Doug at DougWoodward.com, and that'll take you to my website. My website is actually faith-happens.com. But again, just a search on Doug at DougWoodward.com will take you to my website. And again, you can just do a search for me on Amazon or many of the book services, Lulu. A number of my books now are ebooks. They're available on Kindle. They're available at Lulu. They're available on iBooks in the Apple Store. And this new book is, the title is called Lying Wonders of the Red Planet. And I anticipate that I will have it available for sale on Amazon this weekend, probably by Sunday.
That'll be in Kindle form. In other words, it'll be something just printed. Is that right?
Actually, originally, it'll be printed. It'll just be in a printed form. It'll be orderable from Amazon. I will put it on a Kindle in a Kindle format probably within a few months. But it'll also then be available at Prophecy in the News and our friends there. And so they will also have that too. And so, that's kind of how folks can look me up and get in contact with me and take a look at some of the things that I've written about.
Well, it's really exciting today that certainly we have access to so much information now for many, many decades, is really for centuries. Why the people who control the media control what people think. Now with the electronic age and the Internet, at least there's the opportunity to get information out that is true. Unfortunately, the people on the other side will do everything they can to ignore it. Something I've found out many times on Amazon. I'm doing an analysis of my own library. I find out that really important books are very, very difficult to get on Amazon. And many times they will simply raise the price up to the point where, of course, you cannot. I mean, we're talking about $1,500 for some of the books that we have in our library, books that I might have bought for $6 or $7 initially. But basically, they don't want you to read them. They jack the prices up. They know exactly what they're doing. The certain books are very, very cheap. You can buy them. Used books at a penny each, but by the time you pay for shipping, you're talking maybe $4. Those are the books you're supposed to read. And those that are fantastically expensive are those you're not supposed to read. But you must, of course, look on an alternative. alternative methods of getting information, but understanding the information is there. Certainly many times you can pull it down in printed form or you can get it from the authors, but more and more we're having the opportunity to get the truth out if you care enough to be searching for it. Go right ahead, Doug.
Yeah, well, the writings that I've done, certainly I count Tom Horn, Lynn Marzulli, Chris Putnam, as good friends, and we think very similarly on most topics. A lot of the research that Tom and Chris have done, Exo Vaticana, I fully support and agree. I sort of added in this story of Mars, sort of connect various Jesuits that have been influential in studying the concept of the plurality of worlds, and have been suggesting really for over a century that sooner or later we would encounter beings from another world. Probably one of the most famous was a Frenchman named Camille Flammarion, who had written a number of books about 100 years ago. And Flammarion, like Percival Lowell, was actually very interested in the occult. And his studies on Mars were sort of interwoven with studies on the occult. And that's one of the patterns that you see, Dr. Stan, throughout. Almost this whole story of ancient alien theory is you really see these two ideas, the notion of the occultic or the paranormal, sort of connected with the idea of extraterrestrial, of life on other planets and so on. And so I have found that to be a particularly fascinating thread that sort of runs throughout this, this whole story.
But Jacinda, the thing is that it's very misleading because basically either they're right or they're wrong. Either there is a God or there certainly is this other mystical world. There is this other mystical world, but we certainly want to avoid it. And basically, so many of those people will try to focus your attention certainly on the extraterrestrial beings rather than admit that there really is another dimension here, a spiritual dimension, the dark and sinister spiritual dimension, where that's certainly that great battle between good and evil is being fought out suddenly in the eternal battlefield. Go right ahead.
Yes, you see sort of two different types of thinkers in this area. See, one that really is much more naturalistic, and they'll look at the idea of extraterrestrials as proposing sort of a purely naturalistic, materialistic, evolutionary sort of extension of the hypothesis that there is no God, but there are these intelligent beings from other worlds. And so you'll see sort of one group of thinkers that talk about that, and they think of it that way, and they sort of find comfort in ancient alien theory because it gives them an explanation for why certain things are the way they are. But then you'll see this other group, just as you've talked about, Dr. Stan, where you see individuals that are interested in this, but they really connect the notion of extraterrestrials with the notion of beings from another dimension or from another world, very much into the occult or into the paranormal. One of the more noted sort of modern ancient alien theorist is a gentleman named Philip Coppens, and he's the late Philip Coppens. He passed away about a year ago, but Coppens had done a lot of research, had appeared on the ancient alien series many times, but he was a bit of a contrarian. He was more of the belief that UFOs did not have physical attributes. He tended to see the concept of interacting with extraterrestrials more as a sort of an occultic, paranormal, inner experience. And what's interesting is that he's not alone in that idea. There are many authors like Graham Hancock, the late Terence McKenna, that talked about the importance of psychotropic drugs in a sort of awakening our consciousness to these extraterrestrials. In fact, I go in and actually explain and talk about the whole concept of the religion of Aleister Crowley, of Jack Parsons, who was the sort of the evil genius behind the Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena,
and the connection between these cultic religions and the notion of extraterrestrial beings.
Now, I think that it's so important for our listeners to understand that Jack Parsons really sort of headed our space program from behind the scenes, a government employee, and certainly the wholesome, much of what's the space program, and certainly the space station, the trip to Mars. Parsons was behind all of these, and he was coming from an occultic point of view, and basically this belief that there really are these other forces out there in the universe, but you see, everything is simply to deny that there's a God. Basically, when you believe in God, why, simply, you know, life is very, very simple. When you don't believe there's a God, then you come up with all these alternative situations, and unfortunately, the people who control our government today, in large part, are those from the other side, who disbelieve in God and have embraced these occultic beliefs, which do merge into these ideas that they're sending these space beings and spaceships to us from 600 million light years away, and how they get here so quickly, I'd never know, but it's not important. These people are directing so much of our, in my estimation, of our current space program. Would that be an accurate evaluation, would you say, Doug?
Well, I think that, you know, we are always in a world of, you know, we live in a world of ideas, and we live in a world of competing ideas. And so certainly those that do not believe in the Judeo-Christian worldview, that do not believe that there is a personal God that created the universe that exists outside of time and space, it seems to be the nature of humankind to try to come up with an explanation for, you know, why did we get here? What's our purpose? Where are we going? And so there's no doubt that you look at a lot of those individuals that are engaged in talking about the notion of extraterrestrials, that may have an agenda beyond just, you might call it sort of this question of philosophy or origin. But certainly some, you know, are interested in it primarily just for those kinds of questions. Nevertheless, getting back to one of the core things that you talked about is, you know, why are we involved in this space program? What is it that we really are seeking? There are a number of different theories, and of course, some of those theories involve the fact that certain people in our government do believe in these extraterrestrials. They do. Some of them believe that they are a threat. I suspect you've probably had people on your show at times that have talked about the so-called secret space program, the idea that the United States and the Soviet Union at one time helped to create certain off-the-books space-related studies, exploration, and there have been some very wild theories advanced that there's even already a colony on Mars. Some have even gone so far as to speculate that there are hundreds of thousands of people on Mars already. We run into someone like an Andrew Bishago, who talks about jump rooms, wormholes, teleporting back and forth to Mars in a matter of minutes. Talks about time travel. These are all, you know, to most people, these would all be absolutely absurd, crazy, wacky ideas. And yet the reality is that, Dr. Stan, so many people are being caught up in these notions, and they are becoming an alternative belief system. And that's really kind of what got me, I guess, engaged in attempting to understand, you know, what is common about all these different ideas, and what is it that people are believing, why are they believing these things, and then what role, if any, and I believe there is a significant role, is our government playing in this type of creation of these sort of alternative ideas and worldviews?
Well, I would simply point out that certainly our special forces has a division that is centered upon contacting the other dimension. They are well aware of the fact there's another dimension there, and that you probably heard me tell the story about going back to visit our good friend Joyce Riley. And the day before I was there, there was a major general there with his wife, and he had actually been in charge of the division of special forces forces of contacting the other dimension. And they were able to actually do that and to learn how to begin to utilize this supernatural power that was there. And basically, Joyce handed me the spoon that he'd taken and burnt and actually, of course, bent into a complete circle. No human being did that. There was just no way. That was a rigid piece of metal, melted, suddenly a spoon and bent into a circle. But they do, Cap, there is this force you can tap into. And let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, you do not want to do that. You need to know it's there. But we should avoid that like the plague, at least in my estimation.
Right. Right. You're talking about our friend General Stubblebine, I believe.
General Stubblebine, absolutely.
Yeah, and I certainly one of the things I talk about in the book is the whole issue of this phenomenon known in global remote viewing and the fact that it has been used. Many of the individuals that were part of the military remote viewing capability that the Army had and may still have, in fact, that folks like Joe McMonagle, Ingo Swan, Pat Price, a number of them, almost all of them talk in terms of remote viewing the moon or Mars. Stubblebine, I even quote him in my book, talking about how that remote viewers have looked beneath the surface of Mars and that they have seen the machinery underneath in these caverns of Mars. Now, do I believe those exist? I don't think they do. That's my personal belief.
I don't think they do either, but I think that these people who have actually put themselves in touch with the other dimension are being constantly misled because so much of what's going on today is all based upon deception, and this is why we need to know it's there, but we need, of course, to keep our view firmly fixed on our Lord. If we don't, why we'll be taken in. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Yes, the story of Mars in one word is deception. And Mars really has been at the story and key to it for, as I said, well over 100 years. And it still pops up even today in these discussions. Certainly Andrew DeShago has talked about and so on. There's many others that are still talking about these ideas and I think that they will continue to have a significant influence.
Hold that thought. Hold the thought.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Have you noticed that America is changing? Our nation is changing because public education is systematically destroying our faith in God and country. They have succeeded. What can you do? If you love your children, take them out of public school and consider homeschooling. The Robinson Homeschool Program is a 12-year curriculum devised by a Christian educator. The classes are presented on CDs and dozens of books are included. Thousands of youngsters have taken the course and successfully gone on to college. The modest price is only $195. If you'd like to obtain some additional information, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. So if you love your children and want them to succeed, call 800-544-8927 and ask about the Robinson Homeschool Program.
Most men, when they reach 60 years of age, have urinary tract problems. They have to urinate frequently during the day, and they have to get up several times every night. What's the solution? Many men use a herbal product called Prostate Support. It contains saw palmetto and stinging thistle. It's available from Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan takes prostate support and recommends it. And thousands of men take prostate support every day because it relieves their urinary tract symptoms. If you would like to try prostate support, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Once again, the telephone number for prostate support is 800-544-8927. And I suggest you call today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Sydney, we are engaged in a spiritual battle between the good and evil, between those who believe in God and those who believe in all of these certainly supernatural elements, but certainly so many of them are focused on things that are totally fallacious. We've spent hundreds of billions of dollars on a space program trying to contact these beings from another universe, another dimension, and basically, of course, it's all fallacious. Jack Parsons, who for many years headed the U.S. space program, was deeply involved in the occult, as are many of the people who are involved in this whole process. Off-air, while Doug was talking about the fact that there are many people who always tell you that through remote viewing, they've been able to see the tunnels underneath the surface of Mars, and basically he thinks this is all foolishness, as do I. Major General Stubblefield was the gentleman who had bent that spoon, and he was certainly working for our special forces, and we have people of divisions of our military that are deeply involved with contacting the supernatural dimension. This is not imaginary, it's real. And until you understand that we're involved in a spiritual battle, of suddenly being fought on a spiritual dimension for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization, very little makes sense today. And that's why, certainly, you're going to read one book that will at least give you some understanding of what's going on. Let me suggest my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. That's Brotherhood of Darkness. We do have several excellent books, certainly by Doug Woodward. We have several excellent books by Tom Horn, which we strongly suggest. We have a series of books and DVDs by Lynn Marzulli, and his latest one on the Watchers 7. But we carry a number of his other DVDs we think are important. If you haven't seen The Final Countdown, Pastor Billy Crone's series of DVDs, each one will have maybe four or five DVDs in it. I think we have all of them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, up to 7, and hopefully we'll have 8 very, very soon. We've seen it, but of course we need to get that made up so we can disseminate it for you. But if you'd like to get those DVD sets, and I say each one I think has about 5 DVDs in it, 4 or 5, our number is 1-800-544-8927. And The Final Countdown goes into the fulfillment of prophecy that we are seeing today. And I think Pastor Billy does an excellent job. In fact, Barbara and I, very often after we finish our programs in the evening, we'll go in and watch Pastor Billy. And we hope that you'll want to do that as well. And then get this out to people so that they can begin to understand what is going on today and begin preparing for the prophetic times are ahead of us. Now, this doesn't mean that we just sit back and do nothing. Yes, we need to be involved. We need to be reaching as many people as we can. We need to try and hope and pray there'll be a great revival in America. But it's not going to, if it comes about, it'll only come about after catastrophic events. And I really fear that catastrophic events are coming in the form of war, financial collapse, disease, certainly perhaps an EMP attack. I do not know what it's going to be, but I do believe that America is Mystery Babylon, and Mystery Babylon is not mentioned in the Bible other than to describe how it is destroyed by fire and how the ship captains were able to look on shore and see the Mystery Babylon burning. I think my personal opinion, remember, I'm not divine, I have not a prophet, but I really believe that is the financial center of the world. This is what we're told. What is the financial world center of the world today? It's New York City, ladies and gentlemen. New York City, and of course, it is, according to the Bible, it is burning. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com, radioliberty.com. Once again, the number 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to get the items I mentioned, specifically the final countdown, or as any the watchers, Lynn Marzulli, where we recommend them, and if you're in a position to help us financially, we'd love to hear from you. Quite frankly, we need your help so we can maintain our network of stations. And so, until tomorrow at the same time, Dr. Stan, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.
Let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer, God bless America.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. It is 9 January 2014. It is Thursday.